is beginning to rain, 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 in the voice of our Father. Saying, whosoever will come drink of this water, I promise to pour my spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, look up to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, inviting you to worship with us today at Bible Home Church, coming to you from Austin, Texas. It is glorious to be here with you today, again at Bible Home Church. You know, I just love to hear letters and read letters from our friends out, I guess you could call it, you know, the old saying of Radio Land. Well, I just feel like you're here with me. And Jesus said, where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst thereof. And I feel we're together. I really do. You know, I've gotten so many letters from people around the world. Here's one, for example, from Pakistan. Now, you know that the Pakistani Christians have been suffering greatly in that Muslim nation. And do you remember the machine gunners went in and killed, what was it, 16 Christians while they were worshiping at a Christian church? Well, here's a brother. He writes, in the name of the Almighty, he says, hello there. I have received the King James Version of the Holy Bible that you sent to me. I'm thankful for this from the bottom of my heart. I'm interested in the study of any literature related to Christianity. Please kindly send me some literature in this regard. I would especially love an Urdu and Arabic translation of the Bible. Please help me. Thank you for your kindness. And signed, Gibran from Pakistan. His name is Gibran Dahir from Rahim Yakran, Pakistan. You know, my friends, it's fascinating that people would write us from the Muslim country of Pakistan and say, could I have a Bible? And, you know, it's an embarrassment if a rich nation like America that claims to be a Christian nation could not respond in a positive manner. Well, we did respond when Brother Gibran of Pakistan wrote to us. We sent him the King James Version of the Bible. He would also like one in his own translation. And I don't know, we're going to have to check on that and see what we can do. I don't have any Bibles in the Urdu or Arabic language available here with me, but maybe we can get a hold of something. Then, let's see, we have a letter here from a brother named Peter, and he comes from, in Canada. All right. He says, dear Pastor Mars and staff, greetings in the wonderful name of Jesus. Hope you're all well. Thank you so much for the audio tapes that you sent to me. I have enjoyed your messages. People here in Canada need the gospel very, very bad. Thank you for continuing to march forward. And he put 3 John verse 4 on his letter. Here's from Brother Samuel Onidoga of Kenya, the country of Kenya over in Africa. He writes, dear Pastor, Christian greetings from Kenya. May I take this opportunity to inform you that I am a Okenyan male citizen. I'm a devoted, born-again Christian and a gospel singer. I was blessed and strengthened by your materials you sent. I've been using them to preach and teach believers and sinners. What you have sent is so inspiring. I am thankful and may God bless you and your ministry in furthering His kingdom. Brother Mars, I would like to know more about your dynamic ministry. Kindly send us more information. You are precious to us, and we Christians here in Kenya love you very much. Yours sincerely, Samuel Odinega. And by the way, he signed it, founder of the Redeeming Love Christian Choir. The Redeeming Love Christian Choir. Well, those are just some examples of letters that we get in here to the ministry. And you know, my friends, when you make a financial contribution to Bible Home Church, well, That's how we pay our bills. That's how we're able to buy Bibles and send. That's how we're able to preach the message that goes across the airwaves and around the world. So I want to thank you sincerely from my heart. Now, maybe you'd like to write us and give us your testimony. Maybe you'd like to become a member of our fellowship. You can do that no matter where you live. Yes, you can become a member. We have members. We'll put you on our membership rolls. All you have to do is say, Brother Tex Mars, I believe and trust in Jesus Christ, and I'm willing to obey him. You know, a lot of people believe in Christ, but they're not willing to obey him. I'd like you to tell me that, if you'd want to trust in Jesus and obey him. You know, Jesus said that those who loved him would keep his commandments. Well, no, we're not perfect as Christians, but we should try. There are a lot of people out there who say, I'm a Christian, and they go and live like the devil. They don't care to obey God. They don't even want to know his doctrine and commandments. But I think Christians have a love for the truth. And you know, under the new covenant, God has put the law in our hearts. But it didn't mean he abolished it. The Ten Commandments are still in effect. They're just in your heart. That's not legalism, my friends. It's just the truth. You know, thou shalt not murder, thou shalt not commit adultery. There's all kinds of things we know in the Bible. Sins. And when you do them, if you're a Christian, you've grieved the Holy Spirit. And you need to atone for that. You need to ask God for forgiveness. That doesn't mean you lose your salvation every time you sin. But you need to go to the great giver of grace and mercy and love. On your knees, because we're told to do that. We violated his laws, violated his commandments. If we do that, and we should not do it willingly, we should not do it willy-nilly. We shouldn't do it at all. But if you err, I love 1 John. It says that if you do sin, you may go to the Father. And he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's in the Bible. You know, I think a Christian, if he's or she is in sin, they just feel dirty. They just don't feel really right. You can't feel good as a Christian living in sin. You can't do it. Now, you can try your best to push that sin to the side, to put it in some little compartment, keep it in a locked box. But it's just going to sneak out. The seal is broken. There's no mason jar that you can hide your sin in. Be sure your sin will find you out, my friend. And let me tell you something. That's a good thing. You see, in the last days, many men will have their consciences seared with a hot iron. Why, they don't even think thoughts that they're sinful, that they're guilty. They sin and they're guilty, but they go right on. And they don't even think of it. They're not Christians. Oh, no. They say, I believe in Jesus. Baloney. Baloney. If you believed truly in Jesus, you'd do what he had to say. I mean, if you really believed he was God, the fear of God would strike you, my friends, and you would obey him. Well, enough said on that. But I do want you to know that if you'd like to be a part of this congregation, we'd be glad to accept you in faith by your profession of faith. Now, today we're continuing with our series entitled, The Party is Over. You might want to know about the party being over, so you stay tuned, okay? Now, we have a beautiful song, and we've got a song by the Rambos, am I right? Dottie Rambo, and she's going to sing, Oh, Blessed Hope. Oh, my. All right. Beautiful voice. I think one of the most beautiful voices in the world. And then right after that, we'll have our message for today. All who believe Then was the part of the hand sent from him, and this writing was written. And this is the writing that was written, Mene, Mene, Tekel, Upharsin. This is the interpretation of this thing. Daniel continues, Mene, God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it. Tekel, thou art weighed in the balances and art found wanting. Peres, thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and Persians. Then commanded Belshazzar, and they clothed Daniel with scarlet, and put a chain of gold about his neck, and made a proclamation concerning him that he should be the third ruler in the kingdom. In that night,
was Belshazzar the king of the Chaldeans slain. And Darius the Median took the kingdom, being about 80 years old. Now, my dear friends, let us examine what happened that night and how it is related, I believe, to this great nation, which someday shall be no more, the United States. Now let's look at this. Belshazzar was the king. We've had Clinton, we've had Bush. That's our king. That's our royalty. He threw a feast for 1,000 of his lords. Oh, they have big White House cocktail parties and for all the dignitaries. And I remember Bill Clinton had all the Hollywood set come in. Of course, Billy Graham was there because he's got his imprint on the Hollywood sidewalk of fame, as all the other celebrities do. All of the celebrities come there. Sharon Stone and Mr. Spielberg, the movie producer, and all of the hoity-toity and the head of the Washington Post, and this producer of Hollywood, and this one, and that one, and this star, and that star. Now, there in Babylon, they threw a religious feast and celebration, a party, did they not? Yes, Belshazzar threw a feast, but it was a religious feast and celebration. Oh, they have those too. Why, the presidential prayer breakfast. Why, we had one at the National Cathedral in Washington, D.C. But at these particular celebrations, like the presidential prayer breakfast, they have the Buddhist monk get up and pray, and they'll have the Christian clergyman, so-called evangelical or whatever. They'll have the Catholic priest, and they'll have the Muslim imam. Now, Daniel, it says, made it religious because he brought in these vessels, the gold and silver vessels from the Jewish temple that the Babylonians had conquered some years before. This was then a desecration of holy things. Do not our presidents desecrate holy things? I remember reading that Bill Clinton would have sex with Monica Lewinsky on Easter Sunday. And a little bit later on that morning, he held his Bible firmly in hand for all the reporters to see as he and Hillary went into their pro-homosexual, pro-abortion United Foundry Methodist Church in Washington, D.C. Was that not desecration of holy things? Use of God's Bible? A mockery? Yes, it was. Was it not mockery of God when our President George W. Bush visited an Islamic mosque and took off his shoes and went in and worshiped with the Muslims, and then he told them that Islam was a religion of peace? And then later he invited all of the Muslim big wigs of the imams and so forth, and the Muslim organization heads to the White House for a powwow. Religious celebrations. Here it says they drank wine and they praised false gods, just as President George W. Bush has done, just as Bill Clinton did. Bill Clinton and Hillary went over to the Wailing Wall in Jerusalem and put their little notes of whatever they wanted to say there. And at the funeral of Prime Minister Rabin when he was assassinated, Bill Clinton went over and wore his little skull cap. And my friends, there's a reason that little black cap the Jews wear is called a skull cap. Certainly not of God. Remember, Jesus Christ was crucified at the insistence and demand of the Jews, and they crucified him on the hill of Calvary, which was known as Golgotha, the skull. They're proud of it. And there, Bill Clinton wore it and talked about his brother, Rabin. They praised false gods. Boy, they do that in America all the time, don't they? And with all the idols in America, you can go to Buddhist temples that are spreading like wildfire across America. Good New Age magazines, you'll see so many idols of wood and stone and silver. What, Babylon had, I mean, they didn't even compare. There are statues of Mary in parks and recreation centers and certainly in Catholic churches, idols everywhere. And later on we're going to talk about all the statues in Washington, D.C. of the great Egyptian and Greek goddesses, the Roman goddesses. Hey, you say, I've never heard of such a thing. You better get with it, friends. Listen to this program. We're going to tell you about that. But have you ever seen the Statue of Liberty? What do you think that is? Marilyn Monroe? What do you think it is? Betsy Ross, the one who sewed the first Stars and Stripes flag? That's not Betsy Ross. That's not Marilyn Monroe. You can find out about the Statue of Liberty. Just read Revelation 17. The Whore of Babylon. Oh, we praise the false gods and have all of the idols there. We're just like Babylon. Now, notice too, it says here that Babylon was so powerful, they could exalt whoever they wanted. What other nation, what other kings, and so they wanted, or depose them. We do that all the time. We put down governments like we did in Afghanistan, and we put our own people in all over the world. I mean, my friends, there are 175 nations, and their leaders are only in power because our CIA, our White House, says we allow it to be so. Otherwise, we'd overthrow them. And you would not believe we've probably overthrown scores of world leaders since World War II. And if you count all the ones since 200 years ago, no telling how many. We wanted the Panama Canal. We just went down there and took it. We wanted to give it back. We gave it back. We do what we want. We're the superpower, are we not? Notice, they mixed the things of God there at Babylon with the worship of the false gods. George Bush says, I'm a born-again Christian. But isn't Islam a wonderful religion of peace? Colin Powell, boasting of how peaceful Islam is. Why, if you say different, you're a hater. You're some kind of a monster if you disagree. Notice, too, the king of Babylon called for his astrologers, his soothsayers. All you have to do is see Madame Cleo on TV or Dionne Warwick telling you to call the psychic hotline. Read the horoscopes in the newspapers. I mean, we've had astrologers and soothsayers. You just look at TV schedules and you'll see there are entire television shows where people conjure up spirits from beyond claiming to be speaking and communicating with the dead. On the other side, as they call it. People groove to these things. They're so excited to think that the dead can come back to talk to them. Astrologers. My friends, even in Washington, D.C., visit the Library of Congress, one of the greatest buildings there. And what will you see? Look around you. There were all kinds of horoscopes and astrological signs. And, of course, in almost every Masonic temple in every city in America, there's the great Egyptian goddess, shaped like the Sphinx, half animal, half woman. And, of course, go inside and you'll see all of the astrological symbols and signs. Is this not a modern-day Babylon, my friends? You know, in Babylon, they worshipped one god. They had many gods. One of the gods was called Mammo, the god of prosperity. Mammo. Also, this god was known by the name of Mormo. Mammo or Marmo were the pronunciations. That's why the Mormon church was established. I believe Joseph Smith worshipped this god of Marmo, or Mammo. Jesus talked about him. He said, you cannot serve two masters. You cannot serve both God and Mammon. Money, the god of prosperity. We have that. We have in the so-called Christian church, the Paul Crouches and the Oral Roberts and the T.D. Jakes and the Kenneth Copeland saying, oh, come to see us. Send us your seed gift and we will make you rich. Oh, it's promised in the Bible. God wants you to have yachts and Mercedes and Lexuses, and he wants you to have million-dollar palaces.
Please tune in to Bible Home Church next week as Pastor Mars continues his fascinating series on The Party Is Over.
You've been listening to Pastor Tex Mars and Bible Home Church. Please join with us in worship next week as we continue to honor the remarkable Word of God.